Greetings in the name of the Most High. Well, some things I have learned about PTSD, and which I'm being, I might as well make this known, I'm being treated for PTSD from the hospital experience, from the, you know, the abuse and trauma in the hospital that I received, and I couldn't fight back because I was helpless as very, very ill, on the verge of death. I was on the verge of death for many days, but that didn't stop him. In fact, that encouraged them even more. So it was a battle of wits as well, you know what I mean, trying to get the upper hand. And I can tell you this, you know, you'd be proud of me the way I fought and how snarky I was with these assholes. But let me just tell you what they are, assholes. And it's still unsettled in my head and my heart as to what happened, especially my near-death experience with a CPAP device after surgery. And I can tell you that somebody else recognized the symptoms and is put me immediately under treatment for PTSD. So it wasn't going to be settled, you know, until there can be peace. Now, how do you deal with the PTSD in the 90s that destroyed my film career and set us on a, you know, kind of a journey of trying to find a landing place? I mean, driven out of a town like LA is quite traumatic. And, you know, the people participating in it were people that I thought were peers or thought were allies, really, were the ones that stuck the knife in the deepest. And why did they? Because I didn't seem to. It's the same reason the hospital did it. No, they didn't do it to everybody. They did it to me. They did it to others, I'm sure, that I don't know about, but they don't. That's not the policy, to harass somebody into a nervous breakdown or splitting or, you know, or worse, death. And so I become dysfunctional, you know. And so people wonder, well, I wrote you and I wrote you a message. I wrote this and I can't respond to anything. I don't respond to anything. I mean, once in a while I'll do it, but it's very inconsistent. I see people I knew from a few years ago, and they show up, and I can barely say hi. I can't do anything. I am blocked in every which way. I am fucked up. Okay? Seriously. And will I be able to have a heart and mind open and, you know, and flowing in Jesus? That's never happened, so I doubt it. Because, see, when we moved to New Mexico, that was to overcome let's see how many years that was. I say 13. Well, it's like 40 years of this stuff. You know, just, you know, relentless. And, you know, it's a big game, because what happens is the abuser, you don't get PTSD unless you're abused. Let's just stipulate that one fact. You're not going to get PTSD unless you're abused. unless you're traumatized. So I can think of natural traumatization, like, for example, the battlefield, seeing your friends get their heads blown off. That would definitely do it. You know what I mean? I don't know for how long. It's a different form than a personal abuser, but it is the same thing. It's abuse. That you would see that. And then most people just don't deal with it. And their lives are ruined. But I have Jesus. Well, you can have Jesus and not heal from PTSD. And then you have PTSD, but you have Jesus. Well, that's fine. So it's suffering every day until God, you know, kills you and takes you home and gets you out of here. Rescues you. The only which way is death. So that is one way to deal with PTSD, yes. I don't think that's acceptable to me, because I want to be functional for the Lord at the very least, but I can't be. And working on my film from, you know, from that tragic, horrible time, I guess, jeez. Yeah, but I mean, this character is definitely being completely destroyed mentally. Yeah, by the idea that she's going to die. And at one point, you know, she becomes dysfunctional. She goes over the line. She becomes crazy. She gets broken. Now you want to see it, right? She gets hurt. And she doesn't recover. Yeah, you want one more of these. The only thing she can do is die. That's the only relief. And I'll say it right here. Let me be the one that says this. That's the only relief she's going to get is death. The death sentence is a gift, because there was something else that was wrong. And in the film, we don't identify it in the film because I didn't want to go down that road. So many people get caught up in this idea of child abuse and that ruined my life type of thing. And I have PTSD from that, and they're 50 years old. And we're going to look back on that. And that's because there are so many assholes that are fathers. That shouldn't have been. No father should molest their son or daughter or be sexually explicit or anything else. It's all traumatizing to a child. Okay? But, you know, they're being encouraged to do that here. I don't know how you take it here. This is a menagerie of horrors. Every day I wake up, it's nothing but horror. Nothing but hell. And I don't see anybody who's laughing or happy. I don't see anybody who's celebrating. You know, I had my fantasies about, well, I'm going to have a 70th birthday, and don't you have a celebration? And that was yesterday. You know, reaching that milestone and still retaining my youthful mind, right? Kind of amazing. But you know what I wound up doing is staying in and doing nothing. And the reason I did nothing is, I mean, I had a plan of, you know, one reason is I can't walk, so it would help if I could walk. You know, so that makes it scary to be in public. If you're, you know, really weak in that area, because even with a walker or something, you know, maybe less so with a wheelchair, you know, there's obstacles and, you know, there's little nightmares that can go on there. But, you know, I'm slowly getting that back, being able to Oh my God. Let me start this over.